very loud voice. He's a great person. And all my family, my brothers, my sisters, they were all jealous that I had the measles. They ran around my bed, brothers together, and they touched me so that they could get the measles, and they got them. But we all had them at the same time.
Things are quite different in the medical aspect of living.
Oh, things are so different.
Do you remember the politics of Punxsutawney as you were growing up? Were you aware of?
Well, when I was growing up, not when I was little.
Was it conservative?
The politics, most of them were Democrats.
Was it hard to live there as a Jew when you were growing up?
Well, I was really lucky. There was anti-Semitism, there's no doubt of it. But at the turn of the century, when all the Jews were coming in, and the Goyim didn't like it. And so they used to make fun.
Was it just job discrimination?
I didn't say that. But went to school. I went to school, and in school, I can only remember one time with a boy sitting right behind me called me a curly-headed Jew, and I had curls, you know, and he called me. That was the only time that I can remember. Outside of that, I used to have good friends, you know, they weren't Jewish friends, they were all non-Jewish, and we had seat links. We always sat with somebody, and we became very good friends. And even with our teachers, we became good friends. And I remember one teacher I had that used to play odd or even with us, Marvin, you know. And boy, did she get all my marbles.
On the whole, though, I don't think that the anti-Semitism took ugly forms as they did in other areas.
No, and not with everybody, only with some people. Especially the ignorant.
When you were married to William, how was your social life, your family, vacations, and your hobbies expressed?
Well, when we came to Pittsburgh, Bill did a lot of traveling. I used to go with him. I've done a lot of traveling. My children were growing up, and I was free. And I used to go to all these steel mills with him. I'd sit in the car while he was telling the business, you know. And what else did we have?
Your friends.
Oh, we had a lovely circle of friends. I'm sorry to say they're all gone.
Yes.
There's nobody left.
Yes. This is so sad.
Yeah.
Well, how did you express your social activities?
We used to get together and talk.
At home?
At home, sure.
Go to the theater?
Sometimes we go to the theater.
Mostly home.
With friends, we always had a... If it wasn't in my house, it was somebody else's house.
And did you have vacations?
Well, what do you mean by vacation? You mean like you do today? If we wanted to go, there we went. That's all right.
And
we did a lot of traveling.
You did. Good.
Where else did you go?
Where? Well, I've been around a little bit. I've been around to a lot of places. Down south, out west, Europe, Egypt. There are things that I think it's simple that I haven't seen yet.
Do you have a comparison between the neighborhoods of Pittsburgh then and now? Economically,
well,
culturally, politically?
Well, I don't know. See, when I came to Pittsburgh, it was in 1925. And my children were so small, and all the people were damaged a lot. And we lived in Morningside. We bought a home there in Morningside. Before we came to Pittsburgh, we were in New Kensington. I told you that Bill used to work for the aluminum company. We bought a home up there, and we had a I used to love it up there. It was just wonderful. We had a good big circle of friends. And we used to play bridge, and we used to do things, put on plays. In fact, one year I had the president of the sisterhood, so you can imagine that we were interested.
The sisterhood of
the show.
The name, yeah.
That's what the name of it. In New Kensington.
Oh.
This is in New Kensington. Can't think of the name of it. It was a wonderful year, and I was so busy, I was so tired up of it. It was really something. And the funny thing was that we were affiliated. This happened before I became the president. We were affiliated with the temple here. And somewhere in the house, I have a picture that was taken at the hotel. They had a big affair, and we went to that affair in Pittsburgh.
It
came into Temple Sisterhood. I think it was called a Temple Sisterhood.
They're still doing it.
Yeah. And I have that picture from there. Someday I'll show it to you.
Be glad to see it.
And, Max, what do you mean?
In organization. Were you active in organization work?
Well, in those days, there were no organizations back around the day. And I remember when I was president that year, that a woman came up from Pittsburgh to try to interest us in Zionism, in Hadassah. See, there were no organizations in those days. And this woman, she called and asked if we would have her, and of course we said it would be nice if she would come. And she did. She came up and talked about organizing the Hadassah group. And shortly after that, I moved away from there and came to Pittsburgh.
Did you have any organizations here in Pittsburgh?
The Hadassah organization?
Yes.
Don't you belong to Hadassah?
Sure. But I mean at that time.
Oh, at that time was in the beginning.
Yes.
Just in the beginning.
It was not, it started here either.
It just started here, but it was in the early stage.
Because it was just beginning.
Just beginning.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I could look that up and find a date for that.
No, it's not that important. Mm-hmm. It would be a pity. Mm-hmm.
Really? You think what you have taken as a businessman?
Yes.
I understand that you're a member, or your husband was at the founder of the Giant Eagle, is that correct, Dr. Dawson? Are you in the family of the Giant Eagle, or you come from the
family? Well, my second husband, and Joe Porter, started the Giant Eagle Market.
You think we should talk now about the second husband and the business life and relationship with the colleagues and employees? Do you think before all should we talk about politics and the person?
I think we'd better to follow this through for the first marriage and then the...
All right, fine.
Do you want to tell us about the politics?
Well, I wasn't much of a politician. I wasn't interested too much in politics.
You remember the First World War?
I remember, sure I remember.
And subsequent wars.
One of the letters, when I was looking for this letter, I came across another one that I read. And I mentioned in it that I was sorry that Woodrow Wilson was elected president. Well, that's really bad of him.
Well, it ended in 1918, so it had to be 1916, I guess.
Probably. And then the letter was followed. I said I was glad that he won, but we were lucky won the election. Isn't that something? And I never was interested too much in politics. In our town, I said Democratic, but they weren't Democratic, they were Republicans. Prince Tommy. Everybody's Republican, all around there. Not only in country, but all around. Republicans, Republicans. Now, this is just, don't put this down.
Tell us briefly about your husband's illness and death, and then your subsequent life with the children alone. Not too detailed, just as quickly.
My husband was sick for 6 days before he died. He got up that morning, and this was in January, with a deep snow. Our car was sitting in front of the house, and he went out and shoveled, cleaned out the car, and Maida was going to check at the time. He took her to check. He went to his office. He had an office downtown. He went to his office, and everything was fine. And around 1 o'clock, the secretary called me, and she said, Mr. Fibbett was in feeding well. He had gone out and eaten something, and he came back, and he was in feeding well, and he's gone to home. So I said, well, he should come home. He was not feeling well. A little while later, I got another telephone call. And he had a cousin here, Lee Fibbett. Lee called me. He said, Ida, he said, Bill just drove in here, and he isn't feeling well, and I'm going to take him home. He said, I sent for a doctor. If the doctor comes, tell him to wait. This all happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. Well, I got scared, and pretty soon, Lee and another man drove Bill home, and I was standing at the window waiting, and I see him taking him out of the car and bringing him in the house. He was just so sick, just terrible.
And he was sick then for 6 days.
And the doctor came and called an ambulance and took him to the hospital right away. And we had him
oxygen.
We had him in an oxygen room for several days, and he was beginning to get better. And then they took him out of the oxygen room, and he didn't get better. He only lived 6 days, and he kept on saying, I'm dehydrating, I'm dehydrating. And he couldn't do anything. He tried everything. They didn't have intravenous in there.
What year was that?
I think in 41.
41, when he was 56 years?
55. 54, 55, I don't remember. And I thought the world would end.
Of course. Some part of the world had ended.
It was just terrible. And I don't mean that you can't tell anybody how terrible it is. I never dreamt of even thinking of even getting married anybody else. It was on the eve of our 24th wedding anniversary. glass to celebrate it. And he died, and 6 weeks later, my mother died. And it was so terrible.
Traumatic.
And
how long were you widowed? How long were you widowed?
I was widowed till June 19th. 2 years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years. Well, anyway, at that time, you know, when everything was all right, Bill was living and we were busy, and I was very much interested in music. And I used to love to sing. I used to love to sing in choir. And I sang in the Vinegar Choir for a long time. I don't know how many years. And when Bill died, I said I could never sing again. I couldn't possibly sing. And I didn't want to go. And at that time, the candle has been ruined. Did you ever know any of that?
I just know the name.
Mm-hmm. Very funny name. He came up to the house. He said, "Adam, you have to come back. You're not going for fun. It's a religious thing. And you've got to come back to the family." And he talked me into it. This was after Bill had died for several months already. And I went back to the choir, and I never forget that first night of the choir. I just stood there and I cried. I couldn't make my mind. I just cried. It's terrible. So anyhow, the following year, just a year later, Candler Bloom died. Our Candler, we just loved that man. It was so good and nice. So the congregation said, they want the choir, the women's choir, to come to sing at the graveside for the husband's funeral. And they sent cards for us. All the women. The congregation sent cards for each other. And a car came up to my house, I got in. And I had no idea what it was, but each car was there. Three other women in the car. And it so happened that Ben Chase was the president of the show at the time, you see. And so he was picking up the women. And I was stuck into the car, and that was my first night with Ben Chase. I never knew him before.
Had he been married before?
He was widowed for a year. He was a widower for a year. His wife died a year ago. And isn't that something? I never knew him, I never knew his family, I never knew anything about him. We used to come to rehearsals at the show, and on Friday nights we used to sing. And I knew he was the president of the show, but I never knew him. I never spoke to him. That was when I first met him. And he was the mayor of the year. And then he started telling me that it was. I never knew when he was going to be at my door. 8 long months, he called me. And we got married.
And it was a good marriage, too.
It was a very good marriage.
Mm-hmm. How long did that?
It was very good. Almost 21 years. We lived together. He was very good. Good man.
Did you have children with him?
No. I just had 2 children.
Well, he had children.
He had a son.
One son. And you helped raise him, or
no? Grown up.
Was he married?
He was in the army. We went up there to see him. He was injured. He went to the hospital.
Do you want to tell us about Mr. Chait's business involvement with the giant eagle?
No.
Don't you want to?
No, I shouldn't.
Thought you might.
But Mr. Chait
is a wonderful man.
And folks have often the business, did you say?
Well, you know, they said
would be interesting to have you tell us about your raising of your children as contrasted to the way your children raised their children.
Well, I don't know how they raised it, but I wonder how they did. My daughter has 5, 3 of them are married now, and we were very permissive with our children. And all my relations, everybody I knew said we didn't know how to raise children. We just didn't know. But I'll tell you this, that it's grown up to be so wonderful. And my son, well, he's just wonderful. He's so good, he's so wise, and I just can't praise him enough. And my daughter's wonderful too. So I don't know. They never used to allow anybody to look at us at an infant. The doctors used to say, don't let anybody breathe over your infant. Keep them covered, keep them away. Well, that we, when they were little, we did. We were careful. But today, the more they're out among people, the better off they are. And I think it's good the way they raise them today. It's much easier, it's healthier, and the children are wiser, and they see more and they know more. And I think the way they raise the children today is good.
What do you think of the changes in religious observance then and now, as in general, as you see it in the community?
Religious observance, I don't know whether I'm an authority on that at all. I was raised in a very religious way, and naturally I was in our home because my parents were very careful. I can just see
in your own home after you were married?
No, I mean before.
Before, yes, of course.
My father's home. And in my own home, I was also very religious because my father and mother used to come to visit us.
Did you give your children religious education?
Oh, sure.
Are they observing?
To a certain degree.
Reform or Orthodox?
Well, you have to call them Reform because they're not Orthodox. I mean, they do whatever they want to do.
Yes, of course.
They go to synagogue, not to Reform.
They do. Do they go to church?
No, they go to True Life.
True Life.
What was I going to say?
My
father-in-law and his mother-in-law used to come to visit. And of course, my father-in-law was so strict. He only ate meat that was sold by one certain butcher. He wouldn't touch any other kind. And he wouldn't eat meat in anybody's house at all. And he wouldn't eat anything in anybody's house, unless it was 100% his way. But he used to come to visit us, and I was so careful.
He trusted you.
He trusted me, and I was so careful with everything, because I wouldn't want to hurt him in any way.
You were a very good daughter-in-law.
I was a good daughter-in-law.
Sure.
And on Pesach and Passover, boy, I used to have those bells of utensils and dishes down the basement.
Ooh.
Oh, we had to bring them up. And
I remember.
Oh, do you remember that?
Sure, in my mother's house.
I don't do it anymore. I don't even change my dishes anymore. Of course, when I'm alone, my sister doesn't know.
You don't care.
Because when the children were little, they knew. Yeah. They know.
Yeah.
They don't observe it either, but they know.
What do you think of the changes in Pittsburgh in general, since you first came on the scene, socially, culturally, environmentally?
Well, things are so different today. You can't make comparisons. Everything is so different. And of course, now I don't know because I don't run around to all these things like I used to. I went somewhere yesterday.
Where?
I went to the Technion. Do you belong to Technion?
have, my husband and I used to, and I let it last. It's a good organization, I know. It's a wonderful organization.
It's a wonderful organization, and they're working with a Catholic technical school. And when Ben and I were in Israel in 1949, we were there, and we went through the Technion school.
We did too.
And because I was one of the founders of the Technion Society in Pittsburgh.
Are you?
Yeah. And so we went, and the man that took us to, his name was Dr. Caligula, something like that. And he said that he used to teach in church at one time. And then he went to Israel, and he was teaching in the Catholic Technion. He took us all through the place, and afterwards, we corresponded with him, and we sent gifts, you know, for him and for the Technion. And I have to show you a gift that he sent us. Did you do it with me? I bet it's like.
The students, yeah. Their lives, and
well, Bob, we call him Bob, you know, he didn't want to be called Aaron or Hester. In Yiddish it is, but in English he called him Arthur Robert. And how do you get the name Bob? I had an aunt that used to come to visit us when Bob was a baby. And she used to hold him in her arms, and she'd rock him, and she'd say, Bobbly, Bobbly. And she'd call him Bobbly, Bobbly, spink, spank, spink, stepping at that. So the kids, the neighbors, the children, used to hear her holding him and calling him Bobbly. So they started calling Bob. And you know that their name stuck to him all through the years, Bob. His name is Robert.
Yes.
He called him Bob. He has two sons, Bob and his wife is Eileen. And they have two sons. They're both married. One, the oldest one, is a doctor. Dr. William I. Phillips, whose name is his grandfather. There are two names to Bill. I have a nephew in Cincinnati named Fairway. And he's in his second year residency in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He was here last year. He and his wife, he's married. They were here. And he said that he got a wonderful, he went to school in Massachusetts, Springfield, Massachusetts. He had a wonderful offer for them to come back. He was there until this year. But he thinks he's going to go back.
What about your daughters?
And my daughter has five, she has four daughters and a son. And
Three of them
are married. Mm-hmm. One is a musician. The oldest one, Sarah. And then she's married now. And then Sarah Simon. Sarah Levine Simon. She's an actress in this. A nice music family.
That must be a joy to you, who had musical voice.
She sang in the mist, but she was in the chorus, but she didn't like it. She wanted to be, she wanted to be a solo one. So she gave up the net, and she was in last year, she sang in the New York Opera Company. And she's done other work, a lot of other work. And she's married to, her name is Simon now. She's married to,
well, it doesn't really matter too much.
No, but the thing I wanted to tell you was that they both got back from Holland. He's a producer and conducts. And he does everything, you know, produces and writes and does a lot of things. And he has contracts to take him away to Holland every year for 2 months. So they just got back from Holland.
That's lovely.
And they have a baby.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now? Can you help clarify?
You mean with non-Jews?
Yes.
Well, I can only speak for my own self.
Do you think it's better now or not?
To me, it's the same like it always was. I have neighbors. In fact, I don't have any Jewish neighbors around me. But I feel the same way towards my neighbors. Doesn't matter. And I have a lot of Jewish friends. It doesn't make any difference somehow or other.
Are you on good terms with your neighbors?
Oh, definitely.
Certainly.
Oh,
I would expect that.
Very good terms with all my neighbors. Across the street, they all come down here from up above and around here. And they don't go to show me. I don't go either. I should, but I don't.
Is there anything else that you would like to contribute? Any thought that comes to you?
I wish I could think of something.